The Trinity, an understanding God as three persons in one God, is uniquely Christian. I guess something we know, but something to reflect on again. Of course, we share the same God with the Jewish people, our spiritual ancestors, right? But they knew of God the Father. But when Jesus came, when he showed up on earth, he came certainly to save us from our sins, as we know, but he came also to reveal something very new and very stunning about God himself, and that is that God is not just a solitude, just God the Father. There is more complexity, you might say, to God. Because we see in Jesus showing up, and the people had this experience of trying to figure out who he was, because he was a man sent by God who was also God. He called God his Father, but claimed to be one with God. And therefore, he's revealing this distinction within God. Because how could he come as God and yet speak about God as his Father, pray to God as some person different than himself? And so he reveals something very new and unique. But then also, when he dies and is going to heaven, he says, I will send another. And this other is God. I will be with you till the end of the age, truly, because God will be with you. But he is not the Father, and he is not me. He is distinct, and yet God. And so this true revelation of the Trinity comes with the incarnation, the coming of Christ, and this proclamation that God is, yes, simple and one, but also a plurality. And so then, of course, we're just reminded that God is beyond our understanding. And that, but okay, so what does this new kind of revelation teach us? Teach us a lot of things. But I'll cover two important things for us to kind of remember again today. And one is that God truly comes to us. He truly makes himself present to us. God had sent prophets, but when he sends Christ, when he sends himself, the Son, to be with his people, truly it is God with us. He is there. He was in front of our ancestors, right? He was there, truly present to us. And then when Christ goes to heaven, he sends the Holy Spirit. He sends God himself to live in those who are baptized, to live in those who claim to be followers of Christ. The Holy Spirit lives in us. God is in us. God is close to us. He is not distant. And so there's this reality that, yes, God is infinitely beyond us. He is so far above us. And yet, he is in us. He doesn't just speak to us from a distance, but he lives inside of us. And this is part of that mystery of the Trinity. What does it mean? It means that God is Father beyond all things that we can understand, and yet mysteriously, he is in us. He is with us. And then the Holy Spirit is that you might say, a tether, which ties us to God the Father, ties us to God the Son, and is drawing us ever deeper into the life of God himself. That God is not just away, kind of like saying, like, hey, y'all just follow the commandments and we'll figure it out at the end, you know. Did you follow them well enough to be in heaven? No. God has given himself to us that we can share in his life now, and that we can then experience the fullness of that in heaven. So that first point, that God truly gives himself to us, that he is with us, that he is not distant, but truly close. He has presented himself to us in that communication. And then secondly, we learn with the Trinity that, again, that God is not a solitude, but as Pope St. John Paul put it, he is a family. That God is love. And how can you have love if there's only one? You don't. But if there are multiple, there you can have love. Or persons. Love is found between persons. And so in the Trinity, we see the lover, the beloved, and the love that binds them, which we call the Holy Spirit. Truly, God is love. And so then that reminds people or helps us realize that, okay, so God is love. Well, That means that it is love that created everything. It is love that is, as Dante at the end of his journey through the Paradiso sees, he says he sees the love that puts the sun and the stars in their course. So we see that everything created is created from love. That it is the outflowing of love. And then us too, we are created by love. We are created for love, and we are made in the image and likeness of love. That's an amazing revelation to us. That we're not just God's creatures, but we are made in the image and likeness of love. We are made to be like God in the total giving of ourselves, the total receiving of love. That is our destiny, to be with God in that way, to live that even in our lives. So these things, this God is truly presenting himself to us, that God is love, then kind of marks the context of our lives. Everything in our life falls in the context of coming from the God who is love and coming from the God who is truly present to us and in a way tethered us to himself with the Holy Spirit and is drawing us into that life of love. That is the context of our life. That is where we see everything in our life is in that reality. It's amazing. And we experience it in a real way at Mass too. Here when we come every Sunday, we come to Mass. And what is the Mass but our partaking in the greatest way possible on this earth in the life of the Trinity? We see it certainly in the prayers of the Mass. They're directed to the Father. But our prayer is not just us calling out, hoping God will hear. But no, our prayer is lifted up by the Holy Spirit who prays in us. The Holy Spirit prays in us. And so God is, in a way, interceding for us to himself. Those prayers are spoken by the Holy Spirit to God the Father. And thus, God hears. And God speaks the prayer himself. It's an amazing mystery of being Christian. And then, of course, we know that Christ the Son is made present to us on the altar. So we're there at the moment. The moment is repeated here on the altar every Sunday, every Mass, of our redemption, that moment that reunites us with God. So we experience again the moment that reunites us with God, and then we commune with God, truly consuming the body, blood, soul, and divinity of the Son of God on the altar. Well, comes from the altar. Then we consume it, right? We are in true communion with God. So we see that, again, the point of our life as Christians is this reuniting with God in a true, true way. Like, not just like being next to one another reunited, like we experience in human life, but truly united, going back to the source, united in just a way we can't even understand with God. And so we experience the heights of that in the Mass. That's why we come back, to remember that the context of my life is to be reunited with God in a most intimate way. And so God gives us the gift of the Mass that might be possible. And so I'm so excited to celebrate Holy Trinity Sunday, because it reminds us of this great reality that this is the point of being Christian. That this is our destiny is to be reunited with God. And it's our dignity as Christians to be called the children of God. The Son of God became the Son of Man, that the children of men might become the sons of God. And that is our Christian dignity. True sons, entering into the family of love that is the Trinity. It is stunning. And the people 2,000 years ago began to unravel this mystery when Christ showed up and revealed that he is not just the one Father God, but the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A God who is love, a God who is truly present to us. And so that's what we recall today. We recall that the whole of our Christian life is this unity with God that we seek. Because God wants to share his divine life with us in a perfect, unconditional way, which we'll ultimately experience in heaven. But we taste it here at the Mass. But it informs everything we do. In prayer, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us to God the Father. In all the sacraments, we receive God's divine life, that God bringing us back to himself. And so, we are called to live the life of the Trinity. Because that is our Christian dignity. That is our Christian destiny. That is the context of our lives. And ultimately, that is the joy of the gospel. Christ came to proclaim that we might be one with the God who is love.